Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Oh. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready radio network. So don't forget to check out Rapture Ready Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Our sister Jackie Alnor has that network. And there's also many fine programs there. And also our brother, the Wolf Tracker, is doing a series on the Reformation, Reformation News on Blog Talk Radio. So all those things are available to you for your listening and for your Bible learning. We're all learning, aren't we? I guess we'll forever be learning about the greatness of our God and about His mercies and His goodness to us. God is good to us, isn't He? We want to thank Him and praise Him for all He has done for us. We want to welcome all our listeners from the United Kingdom, from South Africa, from many countries around the world. Welcome to our broadcast. And we hope that you will be ministered to today. And that we can all learn something. I know every time I study to do these programs, I learn so much myself. There's so much truth in the Word of God, and it helps us. It is our guidebook for life to help us get through this life while we're here, because we're just passing through. We know. Truly, we are aliens, aren't we? The Bible says we are aliens. We are from another world, and this earth is not our home. We're here for a short time, and then we will go on to eternity and leave the earth behind us and forever be with the Lord in the presence of the Lord in heaven. So we're very grateful for that promise that God has given us. So we're going to talk today about Passover, and I see lately as I'm going through some of these television channels, which they call Christian, but they've long sold out for fame and fortune, and they've given up the simplicity of the gospel, teaching the simplicity of the gospel, and they've really turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they sold out for filthy lucre. So every time an event comes up, say Pentecost, Passover, Jubilee, those are some of the scams that they use. They use holidays, so-called holy days, but we know every day is the same with the Lord. So they use these feast days and these holidays to enrich themselves. They've become so greedy that they have left the truth behind them, and they sell out with these insane, they come up with all these insane ideas and so-called words from the Lord about right now they're talking about Passover and how you have to give an offering on Passover and you have to hold it in two hands and you have to present it to the Lord. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is our Passover, so I want to read from the book of Isaiah here, and it's the Isaiah and we're going to look at the first chapter. So if some of you have your Bibles today, we'll try to go through a few of these scriptures, and also I'm going to play some audio from this fool, and he's a fool, two fools, Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy. They never stop pushing this Passover scam. They can't stop. They can't control themselves, these men. Honestly, they must sit up at night and count their money. Anyway, Isaiah 1 says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel," and let's say the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the supposed church, let's say that, "doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, and children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." And yes, we revolt. We revolt against this ridiculous teachings, the ridiculous teachings of this man, Rod Parsley, called doctor. I don't know, doctor of what? Doctor of foolishness. And this other doctor, so-called Steve Muncy, another doctor of foolishness. I think they got their PhD or their THD or whatever in foolishness. Let's say that's what they got their doctrine in, foolishness. "From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Let's go on here. Let's look at, go to verse 13 of chapter 1 of Isaiah. "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons." Remember all the talk about the blood moons and the moons. "The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you," Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy. "Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye," Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy, "be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." That's what God says. That's what God says. Verse 23, "Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. So there's still time for these two to repent. God's still given them life. Last year, Rod Parsley spent 6 months with not being able to talk because he had throat cancer. And God had to shut his mouth for a while. I believe the Lord shut his mouth and gave him time to reflect upon his life, upon his doings. And what does he do? He comes back and he says that he has a 7 times greater anointing now. He has a 7 times greater anointing and 7 times greater evil. No, did Rod Parsley repent when God put him flat on his back? No, he did not repent. What does he do? He teams up with Steve Muncy. He teams up with Steve Muncy and other wicked preachers. And he just, like the Bible says, he goes a-whoring. He goes a-whoring after idolatry. He goes a-whoring after filthy lucre. He doesn't turn his back on his wicked, evil deeds. No, he comes back and he's 7 times worse. And then he brags. He brags that, oh, I've got a 7 times greater anointing. Yeah, a 7 times greater anointing in the art of scamming. That's what you have, Rod Parsley. That's what you have. You didn't get the scamming anointing from the Lord Jesus. You didn't get the scamming anointing from the Lord Jesus. No, you got the scamming anointing from your father, the devil. That's who you got the scamming anointing from. Your father, the devil. So I'm going to play some clips here and you can hear for yourself. And then we're going to go over some scriptures because the word of God says it all, really. And we don't have to give God any Passover offerings. Look, Jesus is our Passover. Passover was for the children of Israel when God passed over the houses where the blood was posted outside. And they remember, the Jewish people remember how God took them out of bondage. We remember how God took us out of bondage, right? We remember how God took us out of bondage when we were born again by the Spirit of God. We didn't have to pay God for our salvation, did we? We didn't have to pay God for our salvation. It was freely given. Do you remember when you got saved? Did you bring an offering to the front? No, I didn't bring any offering. I was alone in a room when I got saved and got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me of my sins. I didn't have to give God any offerings. No, I didn't give God any offerings. So we don't have to give God any offerings for Passover. We don't have to give him any offerings. The only people that want the offerings are Rod and Steve. They want the offerings for themselves so Rod could build his wicked kingdom that he's building over there that he calls it a Bible college there. He calls it a school of ministry. And he's training up young people, and they call it Valor. But it's not valor. Why would any parent, and I warn the parents out there, don't send your children over there to Rod Parsley's place. Don't send your children over there. Don't waste your money. You want your children to come out and be like Rod? Learn the art of scamming? We don't need to produce any more people like this. These colleges and these so-called Bible colleges where they won't teach young people how to be in a ministry honestly, why would anybody want to waste their time sending their children to these places? Don't waste your money. You might as well keep your sons and daughters at home and have a Bible study yourself instead of sending them off to learn the art of pimping. Because Rod Parsley, like the Bible says, people say, well, why do you say pimp preacher? We say pimp preacher because the Bible says that they have gone a-whoring. They have gone a-whoring. And you can look that up probably in the King James Bible because some Bibles don't have that word in it. And but the King James does. You can see it for yourself how the children of Israel and the false prophets, they went a-whoring. And what did they go a-whoring after? Idolatry, money, greed. It's all there. And that's basically what preachers have done. They've taken the word of God and used it to con people. But we want to tell people that all you have to do is pray. All you have to do is pray and ask God for what you need. We're going to go over some of those scriptures today about praying, where Jesus says all you have to do is ask. That's all we have to do. All we have to do is ask. We don't have to bring money up to an altar or lay money at somebody's feet or send offerings to Rod Parsley. All we have to do is pray. Hallelujah. Because God has freely given us all things. But listen to this fool, Rod Parsley. He already did his first fruits offering. And usually at the first of the year, they ask for 1 week's salary or 1 month's salary or 1 day's salary. Well, now, Rod, he's so greedy because, you know, it worked during first fruit season that now he wants, for Passover, he wants 1 week of your money. So here you go.
People worship me with their seeds.
Yep.
But this one time. Every year, one time, I want the people to sow their very best in celebration that I, God, gave my best. Not what I could, gave my best. Not an angel, not even a person.
Speak,
my
prophet.
Son.
Speak.
The very best that I had to offer to bring you your miracle today. And God said, tell them this one time every year to celebrate that by sowing their very best seed. And I will put resurrection power on that seed.
Jesus.
Now you need to make the decision right now. That you're going to step on out in faith and operate in the supernatural for your own life right now. All that's waiting is for you to put the key in the door.
Yes.
So 1 day's increase. So 1 week's increase. So that $100 seed. So that $1,000 seed.
Yes.
Make it your best.
Please.
For some, that might be $50. I'm not going to presuppose what God is speaking to you.
That's right.
Because I might say something far too insignificant to represent the need that you have in your life.
That's right.
Here's what God responds to, not the amount, but the faith it takes to sow it. Go to your phone, go to rodparsley.com, or write me right now. We've got more in just a moment.
Jesus.
Honor God's very best seed, His Son, our Passover Lamb, by sowing your very best resurrection seed before Easter Sunday, April 16th. Many obey the original vision and sow 1 week's increase. Others sow 1 day's increase, but everyone sows their very best. In 2017, your seed can produce a 7 times greater harvest of God's blessing. Today, as you sow a resurrection and Passover seed of any amount, you'll receive Dr. Parsley's Revelation-packed new book about God's laws of...
These guys, they never quit. The guy never quits. Honestly. I don't know. You know, he's got this huge building there in Columbus. He's got supposedly 200 acres that he owes. You think that's enough? He lives in a $1 million house. The house is worth $1 million, probably more. But it's not enough. It's not. It's not enough. No. Now you have to sow for a Passover. Here's some scriptures. Here's the real truth. Okay, Rod is not telling you the truth. Here's the real truth. John 14:13-14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. John 14:14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. No Passover offering. No Passover offering. No. No seed faith gift. Ask. Hallelujah. God has freely given us all things. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. It's as simple as that. Why do these guys... why do they have to take the scriptures and why do they have to twist it? That's what the book of Isaiah was talking about, oppressing people. It brings oppression on people, poor people. They can't just have a relationship with the Lord and talk to the Lord and let the Lord be their God and let the Lord be their supplier. No, they have to go to these places. And I don't even want to say it, what I'm thinking right now about these so-called churches, but I won't say it. Anyway, you get the gist. But anyway, they go over to these buildings and they're oppressed. They come in, they're oppressed. Week after week, they're giving their tithes, they're giving their offerings, they're giving their Passover offerings, they're giving their first fruits offerings, they sowed $1,000, they sowed $10,000, they sowed $50,000, and still no money's coming in. Can you imagine the oppression and the depression that these people go through week after week, going into these buildings and hearing the same thing over and over again? And then they turn on the television, they think, well, maybe I'll get some relief over here or some entertainment, maybe. I can escape reality for a little bit and watch some TV. But no, they go to television. And what happens? More oppression. Oh, dear. It's awful. But anyway, we're going to tear down that wicked, evil thing, right? We're going to tear it down with the truth of God's word. God doesn't lie. Rod Parsley, you're a liar. And Steve Muncy, you're a liar. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hallelujah. John 20:31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Oh, isn't that better? I mean... doesn't that just make you feel good? It just makes you feel good, God's word. It's refreshing. And it's been freely given to us. It's been freely given to us. It's God is our Father. And I know I've said this many times, but I never have had to hand my mother or my father a $5 bill. I've never had to sow a $1,000 seed or a $100 seed. When I needed something, they even knew before I asked them, and they would give it to me because I'm their child and they love me. I never had to bribe them. I never had to coerce them. Their love was unconditional. And that's how God's love is. His love is unconditional toward us. He loves us. His mercies are new every morning. He wants to get you out of the mess that you made. And only he can get you out of it through asking, sometimes through repenting of making bad decisions. But you don't have to give any offering to God to get him to do anything for you. Jesus Christ was our Passover offering. Hallelujah. Let's look at that verse. Let me find it here for you. And we don't need to have these crazy preachers telling us what to do. Turn to the Word of God. Always go back to the Word of God. And you'll never go wrong, because Jesus, the Bible says, is our Passover. I'm trying to get to scripture for you. But here it is, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Purge out that old leaven, that old, the corrupt teachings of these liars and thieves, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. The price has already been paid. And we don't need to sow Passover offerings or resurrection seed. Rod Parsley claims that a few years ago, the Lord gave him a revelation about the resurrection seed. Now, if you go to Rod Parsley's website, he actually put up the seven anointings of Passover. It says, as you celebrate in obedience, he actually tells you that you're going to get seven things when you sell your Passover offering. Here's the seven things. Angels on assignment. Now you have to pay off angels, right? He said, an adversary to your adversaries. God himself will beat back your enemies. You, Steve Muncy, and you, Rod Parsley, you're our enemies. Assets necessary for life, food, clothing, and shelter, everything needed for you and your family to live, a blessing on your bread and water. Well, I already have that. I've already been promised that, so I don't have to give any Passover offering for that. Affliction removed. Now, can you imagine they're promising you that all your afflictions are going to be removed, according to Exodus 23:25. Not only will you not be sick, but there won't even be any sickness around you. Wow. Somebody should write that down. And if your sickness isn't removed after your Passover offering, I would say that you could have some kind of a lawsuit there for false advertising, false marketing, agelessness. Oh, wow. Here's one. You can have agelessness if you, I mean, women wouldn't even have to get plastic surgery. Agelessness is for sowing a Passover offering. Abundance. You're going to have abundance, overflowing. God promised Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, wow. An alpha year. Here's a new one. I haven't heard this one. An alpha year. Passover 2017 can be the beginning of a prophetic year of living in abundance in every area. A blessing on your family, your career, your finances, your health, your emotions. And more. Wow. What promises? I wonder if they can come through with all those promises. I don't think so. Steve Muncy or Rod Parson, do you remember? Do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar? Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He was the king there. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was full of himself, like these two guys. He was full of himself. And if you look at the book of Daniel, if you look at the fourth chapter of Daniel, you can see the story there about King Nebuchadnezzar. And it says here in Daniel 4, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Rod Parsley, Steve Muncy. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. Now, this is the king. Now, he's on all fours. He's on all fours. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven. He was wet. His hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. Now, Nebuchadnezzar lost it. He lost it. Why did he lose it? Because of pride. Because of pride. And he wound up crazy. Crazy. Can you imagine? He was the king, and there he is on all fours, and he looks like a crazy person. We've seen those kind of people, haven't we, where their hair is just wild, and they have this wild look in their eyes, and then his nails were so long that they were like bird's claws. And then it says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I wouldn't be fooling around with the Lord Jesus Christ there, Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy, because probably eventually, and I believe this will happen eventually, is that we'll be called out, people like myself and the others that are doing apologetics ministry, will be called out for hate speech. They'll say that we're haters. Paula White likes to say that, the haters. No, I have news for you. God says he hates. He says he hates. And so you can't run from God. Maybe you could try to silence your critics, but sometimes you can learn things from your critics. I read what my critics say about me. I read it. Some of it I take to heart, even though you can get some good advice from your critics. So you can't turn off your critics. You should take it to heart. But there you go. Maybe they don't want to hear what we have to say or the other people out there, the warnings. But look what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. There he was, high and mighty, the king. He had everything, lived in a palace. He was drinking out of golden goblets. He had concubines and wives, and he had it made, just like these guys. In the natural, it looks like they have everything, but they're miserable. They have secret drinking problems or secret drug problems or secret lust problems, because if you lust after money, then you have other lust problems that you can't control. If you can't control yourself when it comes to manipulating people for money and using the name of the Lord Jesus, well, then you have other secret things. You have other secret sins that maybe you're trying to hide. But eventually, like the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Now, God is very merciful. He gives people time to repent and turn from their wicked ways before he unveils their wickedness. I don't have to hire private detectives to go after these people to find out about their personal lives, because I don't do that. What I do is I merely play what they say. I don't have to go anywhere except on the internet or to their television programs or to their websites and get the audio. This is what they're saying, because the Holy Spirit is a very good private investigator. God Almighty is a very good private investigator. He knows it all. Well, I don't get these people. They talk about Jesus. They talk about the Bible. And Rod Parsley, he'll even cry at times. He even cries about how much he loves the Lord. And yet he's long ago quit listening to God. He doesn't listen to God. He's not even afraid of God. No, he's not even afraid of God. He doesn't even take the time to repent, and then to repent publicly to the people that he scammed. He has no fear of God. So whatever they think about people like myself or the other people out there who bring these things to the forefront, you don't have to be afraid of us. You don't have to be afraid of us. But I certainly wouldn't mess with God. No, I wouldn't be messing around with him, and I wouldn't be messing around with hurting his people. The people that Jesus Christ died for, I wouldn't be messing around trying to hurt God's people for my own enrichment. That I would do. So that should be enough to scare these people into repentance and into doing the right thing. Because it's much better. I lay my head down at night on my pillow and I'm not tormented. They're tormented unless they become total reprobates, and then they're no longer tormented, which sometimes I wonder. But let's hear some more foolishness, some more foolish talking here. Here's Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy.
Begin to live again.
Hallelujah.
Hezekiah took his father's kingdom at 25. The Bible says at 32, he was dying. He asked his pastor to come and pray for him. Yep. But his pastor was told by God, I'm not going to heal him. He will die in 3 days.
Yep.
The Bible said that Hezekiah, now let me tell you about Hezekiah. Hezekiah, immediately when he was 25 years of age and he became king, he restored Passover. He told the people to give.
Thank you.
His father had said, we're not going to give the Passover no more.
Right.
We're not going to give offerings anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to lock the temple up.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do anything that God
right.
says. And poverty broke out. Depression
yes.
broke out.
Yes.
No grass grew. No cows
no.
were nursed. Everybody was dying in Israel.
Yeah.
The Bible said Hezekiah restored the Passover.
That's it.
The Bible said they had to build silos, which would mean
Hallelujah.
Banks
Hallelujah.
For us. The prosperity was so great.
Yes.
At 32, his pastor said, you're dying. The Bible said Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall.
Mm.
And the Bible says, he said, Lord, remember, I restored.
That's it.
Remember what I've done. And the Bible says God changed his mind. He told his pastor to go back into the bedroom of the palace and tell the king he will live another 15 years. Not only that, but God dispatched an angel at Passover and killed 185,000 Syrians that surrounded Jerusalem. That's Old Testament, Pastor. What about the New Testament? Let's talk about Peter. When Peter was arrested by Herod, but Herod would not kill him.
Go ahead,
because it was Passover.
Yes.
Peter had already given his Passover offering.
Glory.
And the king said, I'm going to kill you Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to attach 16 soldiers. They're gonna put chains on you and be connected to you.
Yeah.
You will not escape. But the Bible says it was Passover.
Hallelujah.
An angel was dispatched.
Woo.
I'm talking to somebody. Your cancer is getting ready to be
yes,
touched.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to somebody. There's an angel getting ready to get in
God,
your car and ride with you.
Do it, God.
I'm getting ready to tell you that God is about to dispatch
Glory.
An angel into your presence.
Glory.
The Bible says that the angel came in and delivered Peter from death.
Mm.
I want to tell you today that when Joshua was about to go to the promised land,
yes,
and may I say to you, we are on this set outside,
yep,
200 acres, breakthrough, Pastor Rob,
yep,
Parsley's, the altar, the cross, it's
Hallelujah.
Passover.
It's Passover.
And Joshua said, before we go to the promised land, and I want to tell somebody, you are getting ready to go to the promised land.
Prophesy, Doctor.
I am talking to you because you are worth more than you're getting paid,
say
and
that.
God knows it.
Say that.
And God is saying,
Ooh.
I'm getting ready to take you
Hallelujah.
Into a new season.
Hallelujah.
You know, you can't make this up. These guys should go, they should go on Byron Allen's Comedy Central or whatever. Comics Unleashed. These two comedians. There's Rod Parsley sitting there. Preach, doctor. Doctor what? Doctor of foolishness. Oh, honestly, these guys are too much. And notice he says that your cancer's getting ready to go away, and an angel's going to come. When you give this Passover offering, now just imagine this, like this piece of science fiction here. You give your Passover offering, and God, sitting on his throne, Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, he's sitting on his throne. Jesus is sitting next to him. And they want you to believe that when you give this Passover offering, God and Jesus are looking down, and they look down and they say, wow, look at that. Those people gave some money to Rod Parsley. So where's the angels? Get the angels. Now, that doesn't even make sense to the natural mind. That, you know, people don't even know what they're doing. They just do it because these people are telling them to do it. But if you really stopped and you thought about it, and you said to yourself, and the people that are sending these fools money, and they said to themselves, now, wait a minute. My God, who created the universe, he didn't have to spend any money to create the universe. Jesus died on the cross. It didn't cost any money for Jesus to die on the cross. But yet they want you to believe that God and the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting on their thrones in heaven, look down and see a person standing at the telephone. And they tell you, go to your phone. And when you go to the phone, hold your offering in your hand, in your right hand, $150, because they're asking for $300. Hold $150 in one hand and then hold the other $150 in the other hand. Now, then they say that you hold your money in your hand when you're on the telephone as their prayer counselors or whatever are praying for you, and they take your credit card information or whatever. So sane people, not like Nebuchadnezzar people. Same people say, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that my God and the Lord Jesus Christ are looking down from heaven, and then when they see me put my $300 on my credit card, God says to angels, I dispatch you now to go and work on their behalf. You know, it's ludicrous. You know, it's ridiculous. It's beyond belief that people believe this stuff, but that's how bad it is in the so-called harlot church, that people actually believe this stuff. Look, I have Passover every day, okay? Jesus Christ is my Passover. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. I don't have to make financial sacrifices to the Lord so that he'll get an angel out working on my behalf. No, I don't have to do that. I get up every day. I lead my life. I go about my life. I trust God. I honor him, try to honor him with my life. I try to have integrity in my dealings. And I try to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. When I don't do what's right, I repent, try to repent quickly, and get on the right track. And it's really great, isn't it, to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Imagine being these guys and they can't even hear God. After all these years of scamming people, they can't even hear God tell them, repent, repent, repent. But isn't it wonderful that we can still hear God and we can still repent? It would be awful. It would be awful to be them. Just awful. They want Rod and Steve. They want you to believe that Peter, the Apostle Peter, actually sowed a Passover offering. And when he sowed a Passover offering, God I can't even say it without laughing. God dispatched an angel, and that's the reason Peter got out of prison. Yeah. I almost fell off my chair when I heard that one. Yeah. God dispatched an angel, and that's the reason why Peter got out of prison, because he sowed his Passover offering. Now, come on. That is really a good piece of fiction, you know. Imagine that. Peter was in prison. I doubt seriously that he had any money in his pocket. Where did he get his Passover offering? Where did he get it from? But they're going to tell you that that's the reason Peter got out of prison, was because he gave a Passover offering. Who did he give it to? Who did he hand the money to when he was trying to get? Was he paying the prison guards bribes? I don't remember reading that. Do you? No, I didn't remember reading that. But here you go.
Old Testament. Well, let's talk about Peter. When Herod says, I'm going to kill you Monday morning. Mm-hmm. I killed James yesterday. I beheaded him yesterday. I'm killing you Monday morning. And the only reason why I'm not killing you right now, because it's Thursday, it's Passover.
Wow.
And until Passover's over with, I'm not going to touch you, but I'm going to kill you. And let me tell you what I'm going to do with you, Simon Peter. I'm going to put you in the inner prison. I'm going to hook 16 guards chained to you, because you will not get away. You will die.
Come on, preacher.
How can Peter go to sleep with 16 guards all around him, and he's going to die in a matter of 60 hours, because Peter knew it was Passover. He had given the offering.
Hallelujah.
He knew the angel was going to come, and in the middle of the night, an angel walked in.
Yeah.
I'm talking about after Calvary. I'm talking about a new covenant. I'm talking about after Jesus died. The angel walked in and unchained Peter and slapped him and said, wake up.
God.
It's Passover. You will not die. And out he went from that prison to live another 40 years.
Yeah.
Listen. God is speaking and saying, I'm getting ready to change everything in your life, your finances, your family, your children, and even the illness that is within you.
Sure.
And you say, what do I do? What do I do? God says, stand before me with a Passover offering. Do you remember Joshua when he was going to the promised land? I'm talking to you. You're getting ready to go to the promised land. I'm talking to you. Yes, you. Wherever you are getting ready to literally experience the most unbelievable Passover you've ever experienced.
God.
Listen to this. Joshua said, stop. He stopped 2 million people and said, we forgot to do something. It's Passover. Bible said they stopped in their tracks. After God said, go to the promised land, and Moses had died and Joshua was taken over, he said, we better give the Passover offering. Every person took their right hand, took their left hand, and they stood before God and said, this is the offering. The next morning, they were on their way, 2 million. It was a man standing. Couldn't have been a regular man. Must have been a gladiator, Superman, Batman, some creature standing in the road. Stop 2 million people. How do you be afraid of one little?
You can't make it up. Honestly, these guys. They have to stay up at night dreaming this stuff up. Where did he get this from? Oh, yeah, Peter was in prison, but he had given the Passover offering, so he knew an angel was coming. Oh, yeah, Peter. Peter. Yeah, Peter did that. I don't know. They should make a movie. You know, they should make a movie like, what is this, Star Wars or what? I never heard that one. That was really a new one to me. Peter, the Apostle Peter. Yeah. He knew when he was in prison, he knew he had given that Passover offering. I don't know who he gave it to. I don't know. They didn't tell us that. Who did he give that Passover offering to? I don't know. Could you please give me a chapter and verse for that? Because I don't see that. I don't have any chapter and verse for that. So where did they get it from? Where did they get it from? I don't know. Anyway, here, listen to this, because they're talking about now there's a portal. When you give this Passover offering, God makes a hole in heaven, and then there's a portal that comes down from heaven to you.
Complete your miracle. It's his promise. Yes. Psalm 138. Well, how can I be so sure? 2017 is the Hebrew year 5777.
Yes, it is.
Seven, the number of perfection and completion. It's already happening in my life with a seven times greater anointing to pray and believe God for you. So send me your prayer requests. I want to place them on our altar.
Yes.
Easter Resurrection Day, when millions will be praying over them throughout that whole Easter weekend. Now, I've said what I need to say, except this, to introduce my distinguished guest for you today on your breakthrough. He is an amazing prophetic gift to the body of Christ. He prepares the atmosphere for the supernatural resurrection power of God, where God wants to complete your dreams more than anybody I know. Dr. Coy Barker is with me today. He and his wife, Dee, pastor Elevation Point Church in the greater Atlanta area.
So thankful to be back with you. Thank you for all that you're doing in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit gave me a word for this moment for you and your family.
I believe
he said there is an open portal.
My goodness.
Through this ministry, that nothing is impossible. There is an open portal. Now listen to the voice of God. God said there is an open portal. When we two prophets have joined our anointing, that an open portal is open to you.
It is
a window of the supernatural. It is an outpouring. And the exciting thing about this program and this time with you is the fact that we're not thinking something might happen.
No, sir.
We've got 32-year track record.
Yes, sir.
Of the supernatural power of God. I'm talking about signs, wonders, miracles of God. When God has...
Yeah, signs, all right. Dollars. Dollar signs. Oh, my word. Did you ever... How awful. Notice this guy's name is Coy Barker. Coy Barker. Yeah, that's a good name for this guy. Him and Rod are buddies. Buddies in crime. Buddies in crime. That's about it. Here's Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's that simple. The gospel is so simple. And, it's amazing, isn't it? Here we are in the year 2017, the year of our Lord. And we still have to deal with this kind of foolishness from these people. And we need more people. We need more voices like mine. We need more people out there trying to get the truth to people. But of course, everybody has a Bible, and we hope that people will read their Bibles and find out the truth for themselves. Amen. I mean, that's the most important thing. That's how I got free from all this nonsense that I was involved in with seed sowing and tithing and trying to get God to do things for me by giving money. And when we would go to church on Sunday and they would be taking up the offering, they'd have this cheerleader get up there. It was the pastor's cheerleader, and he'd get up there and he'd say, "Come on, everybody, offering time, blessing time. Let's give the Lord a hand." And we would all applaud. And then we would take our checks and we'd wave them in the air at God. And, you know, it was ridiculous, really. It was so ridiculous, because we were led to believe that because we were going to give this money to the church, we were going to get our blessings. And if we didn't give the money there, then we weren't going to have any blessings. We were just going to be poor little lost children waiting for God to do things for us. But, it just doesn't work that way. And it was all based on selfishness. It was all based on the fact that we were going to give the offering because it was offering time, blessing time, and that was the only time that we could get blessed is when we gave these offerings. But it's just not that way. God has freely given us all things, and we hope that we can get, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was like an apologetics television network, or even on the internet, an apologetics television network where we had 24-hour preaching on the truth of the Word of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people could tune in to television broadcasts without people taking up an offering? If I had a television network, I would not allow anyone to take up offerings. No, I wouldn't allow it. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want people to have to come by to my channel and be pressured into giving in any way, because that's between you and God, your giving. That's between you and God. The Bible says that we're supposed to give our alms in secret. We're not even supposed to tell anybody about it. We're not supposed to do it openly. And have lines, these lines that used to form in some of the churches I went to where people were coming up with their $1,000 and they were showing everybody that they were walking up there with $1,000. And that's totally unscriptural, because the Bible says to give your alms in secret. We're not supposed to go bragging to everybody about what we're doing and who we're helping. That's between you and the Lord. And it's much better to give your alms in secret and let the Lord bless you, because there's nobody that can bless you like the Lord. Nobody. He is a good blesser. Now, if you look in, this is frightening. Now, I tell you, this chapter in Daniel chapter 5, and please read this. I'm going to read some of it for you because, wow, this is powerful. Belshazzar the king made a great feast in 1,000 to 1,000 of his lords. Now 1,000 people came to this feast. They drank wine. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar. Now this is Nebuchadnezzar's son. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar was the one that lost his mind because of pride, but then when he repented, he got his mind back. Anyway, this is his son, and he says that, verse 3, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. In the same hour came forth fingers. Now imagine this. Fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlesticks upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now imagine there, you're sitting there committing an abomination with 1,000 people present at this wine feast. And all of a sudden, a hand appears. on the wall and you see fingers. And they probably thought they were drunk or something. But anyway, here's this hand. And all of a sudden it says in verse 6, the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. I guess so. So that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees knocked together. His knees started knocking. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. Bring me the astrologers. Bring me the soothsayers, he said. That's Rod Parsley, right? Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy. Bring me the soothsayers. Bring me the George Bloomers. Bring me the Paula Whites. Bring me the Coy Barkers. Bring me the Benny Hinns. Bring them to me. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be a third ruler in the kingdom. So he wants to know what the handwriting on the wall is. So who comes along? Who comes along? Daniel. Daniel comes along. And it says that, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and disallowing of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom my father the king brought out of Israel? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now, wouldn't you want like the president of the United States to say that to you, or some king to say, I've heard about you, you're a person of good reputation. I hear that you have the wisdom of God in you, so talk to me. Ah. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and disallow doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet. So he's telling him, look, tell me what this writing on the wall means, and I'm going to give you a gold chain, and I'm going to dress you up in fine clothes. And Daniel says, look, keep your money. He says in verse 17, let thy gifts be with thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. And here's what Daniel told the king. He didn't hold back. Verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was exposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knowest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And that's for Rod Parsley and all your cohorts. And they have brought the vessels of the house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine and have not glorified God. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Vaharsin, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou hast been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel, though they gave him the gold necklace and they gave him the scarlet. But in that night, that very same night, Belshazzar the king was slain, and someone else took over his kingdom. It's just not worth it. You know, it's just not worth it to disobey God and to go your own way. It's much better to serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness than to go your own way and wind up losing everything. A few weeks ago, we talked about Jim Baker and how Jim Baker lost his kingdom that he built in the 1980s, and he wound up in prison, but yet he comes back and he goes right back to the slop. And here God sent Daniel, a true man of God that you couldn't buy off, you couldn't bribe. He stood right before the king. He stood right before the president of the United States or the queen of England or the pope or whoever. And he told them, you're lifted up in pride. You have to repent. And this kingdom that you built, it's going to be taken away from you. God has given these people every opportunity to repent and to turn from their wicked ways, yet they won't. They won't do it. That's why we do these programs. One of the reasons we do these programs, hopefully some of these people will repent and say, I was wrong. The things that I taught you, it was wrong. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of them could actually repent and have a real ministry where they really minister to people and help people to enjoy the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ? It's much better to be free, amen, than to be in bondage. Much better to be free. I don't know how some of these people take it. Imagine these poor people week after week going to these places and they can't enjoy their freedom. Let's play one more clip here.
Begin to live again.
Hallelujah.
Hezekiah took his father's kingdom at 25. The Bible says at 30,
his name, to celebrate our deliverance. One is Passover, the next Pentecost, the third's Tabernacles. And in this year, 2017, is the Hebrew year 5777. It has even greater significance. Seven, the number of perfection, the number of completion. God has given me, after healing me miraculously, a vocal cord cancer, a seven times greater anointing to release my faith with yours for everything God wants to release in your life. We're going to be talking today, at least Dr. Muncy is going to lead us, into the seven great blessings that are available at Passover. He's going to talk about angelic intervention in your life, and get ready because it will come to pass on Passover. I want him to share, Doctor, I want you to share at some point during this broadcast about the 350s that you shared with me earlier tonight. I've never heard that in my life. It's direct from the heart of God. And I'm so glad for the Breakthrough audience to get to receive it today. So I'm going to turn you loose. I'm going to enjoy being out here under the glorious canopy of the heavens. And I want you to just teach us about what God is about to do for all of us in this Passover.
This is an incredible, first of all, this is an incredible year.
Mm.
Pastor, this is incredible to be outside on this acreage.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible to be with you because all of this is because of you.
Yes.
God has purposely connected you to watch what's going on at this moment. Let me tell you, this year is a very important year.
Mm.
Not only that, but in the next few hours, we will experience the Passover of seven blessings.
Glory.
Let me tell you about this year. It's 2017. You heard Pastor say that, 2017. You heard him say in the Hebrew, it's 5777, year 5777. But let me tell you prophetically what's getting ready to happen this year.
Jesus.
Every 50 years, God marks it. He marked it under the Balfour Declaration in 1917, when, under the Balfour Declaration of General Allenby, all the people could come back. The Israelites could come back. All the Jews could come back.
Wow.
Those that didn't got caught up in the Holocaust.
Think of that.
God opened the door before that happened.
Yeah.
Number two, in 1947 and 48, Israel became a state.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the spirit?
Oh, dear. These people. Here's Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. That should be the way it is for us, is that when we give, expecting nothing in return, we give because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we know that we get a good feeling when we help people from our heart and not because we want something back, but just out of love, the love that God has given to us that we can share with other people. That's what being a Christian is all about being real, down to earth, real people with real faults, real shortcomings, but yet we know that we have a Savior. We have a God who can deliver us, and he can hear us when we cry out to him to meet our needs, to help us. He is a ever-present help in a time of trouble. Nobody can promise you that in this life you will not have tribulation, because you will. All of us are going to have to go through things. No preacher can promise you a pain-free life. It just doesn't exist. That's not real life. We have to be able to get through this life with God's help. Whatever we have to go through, whatever it is we have to go through, that he will strengthen us and get us through. It's just not right to promise people the world because they give money to some television preacher. It's cruel, really. It's cruel and inhuman to do that to people. But I mean, that's what the body of Christ is all about, too, is about comforting each other and giving a good word to a brother and a sister when they're going through a hard time, being an encouragement, the ministry of encouragement to minister and to remind people of the goodness of God. Because after all, we're not God. We don't know why God does things sometimes. We don't understand. All of us, the death of a loved one, some people lose their marriages or they lose a child and they can't understand. And maybe in this life, we'll never understand those things, but God knows things that we don't know. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. We don't have God's mind in the sense of knowing all things, having his wisdom and his knowledge. So that's where faith comes in. And we have faith. We trust God. We ask him to get us through the day, sometimes just to get us through the day. And he's there for us. He's there for us. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So we call unto him today and we ask him to help us and to guide us and to make us strong Christians, strong examples of what a Christian can be. That's important. Not what people are seeing today for the most part. What most people see is people that don't act like Christians. you know, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. But let's try to make our lives a living testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And be students of the Word of God, to spend time in God's Word, to know it, to live by it, to try with all our might to do what's right in his sight. So anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. And if you have any show ideas or comments, please email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. I do answer my emails, and also my YouTube channel. I just put up some new videos up there, and I'm enjoying my new sound equipment. I am getting some good feedback, so hopefully the Lord will use it as we've improved the quality of the program. And maybe we'll even get some new networks coming our way. Wouldn't it be nice if we could be on some secular networks and kind of combat what the false prophets and the false teachers are putting out? If there could be some of us that could be out there on some of these networks and be able to tell people the truth, to have a bigger voice. It doesn't necessarily have to be me, whoever, you know, God chooses in his time, because he put together this radio program. He initiated it. He gave me the will to do it. And we've been doing it now since 1999. Hard to believe. No, 2009, we've been doing it. So faithfully, we've tried to be here every week with our broadcast. And like I said, just recently, we've upgraded our equipment, and we purchased a professional microphone, which I like very much. It's a Rode, R-O-D-E, and it's a pretty nice mic. It gets a pretty good sound. So we've upgraded the microphone. We don't use the telephone anymore. Also, I'm trying to learn how to make better videos. I mean, it's something I would like to do in the future, is make some documentaries for television. I would like to make some documentaries for television. I don't want to be on television, but if I could help produce some a documentary where people could see behind the scenes to try to get an understanding of what goes on in religious circles, how people are being scammed and conned. Because sometimes, you know, a picture tells a story better than words. Of course, words are important, but when I was growing up, we learned how to read with phonics. So we had words with pictures, and so the picture stays with you. And that's why I think it's important for not only myself, but other ministries to try to produce something, a documentary or a movie or something, where people could actually see something acted out, to kind of see how ridiculous it is. Like some of the things we talked about today. If you could have even this portrayal of people actually believing that God and Jesus, when you lay money down to some preacher, and they'd say, angel, okay, they dispatch an angel out for you. If somebody could act that out, and people could actually see how ridiculous it is, you know, that would be great. But anyway, we'll see what the Lord does. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily have to be me. I know that there's been some people that have done some documentaries, like our sister Carol Mastriciana. I always mispronounce her name, but she produced some great videos. She's passed away recently, but some of her work is still out there. And she really did some wonderful work with documentaries. That was her thing, really. And you can see some of her work. Her last name is Mastri something. Anyway, if you and her name is spelled, I think, Caryl, but it is Carol Mastriciani or something like that. But I've had her on the program, but anyway, her documentaries are out there. You could probably, you know, find them on YouTube. Even if you misspell her name, it should come up. And I'm sure there's some other things out there. I know Jackie Elnor did some good videos that are on YouTube. If you go to her channel, she's got some good stuff out there too. So there's a lot of information out there to help people. We want to bring people out of this bondage that they're in and help them to enjoy their freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. So anyway, hopefully we can do more and train up other people. There's, you know, as long as you have a phone or a microphone or a computer, you can go on YouTube for free. You can go on Blog Talk Radio. They used to give 15 minutes for free. I'm not sure what they're doing anymore, but they might still be giving away the 15 minutes. And you can get a program and just start talking to people. Get your Bible out and start doing a Bible lesson. If you feel like you have something to offer, then do it, because you get better at it as you do something. The more you do it, the better you'll get at it. So I encourage you to take the knowledge you have and use it for the glory of God. Use it for the kingdom of God, because there's so much darkness out there. And we live in troubling times. You know, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's all kinds of things going on now. Open rebellion, people openly rebelling against the law in this country. And not only just so-called criminals, but sheriffs and mayors and governors, they don't want to obey the laws of the land. When we see this kind of open rebellion, and then you see this open rebellion in the so-called church, the harlot church, I call it, where they just thumb their nose at God. We have to have people out there who aren't afraid to preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more voices. And so if you have something to say, say it. Do it. And God will bless you. He will bless you. He will help you. He will give you ideas. And he can help you get something off the ground. Write a book. If you can write a book, thank God I was able to write a book. And it's there. It'll always be there to help people. The things that I've written. That's why another reason I think it's important to have books is because if they ever do take us off the internet, and we can't have a voice like that, the books will still be out there for people to read, just like the Bible. They couldn't destroy the Bible. They tried so many times to take away the written word from people, but they couldn't do it. So if we can't have a voice on radio or television or the computer, we can still have something that's documented in print. So it's important, too, to write things down. Anyway, that's the program today. I want to thank all my listeners and everybody that's come by, everybody in the chat room. Thank you so much for stopping by and taking time out of your day to be with me and to listen. I appreciate you all so very much. Thank you for all your support and your encouragement. I appreciate it so very much. It's nice to get the uplifting emails and the comments that some people are being blessed by the program. Like I said, I read everything, even if it's negative, so to speak, but I listen to my critics. I have to say, even I had someone on YouTube criticize the sound on my broadcast, And he was telling me, I'm not going to use the word he used, but in other words, you know, you could use better sound on your broadcast. And so I thought about it, and I thought, you know, he's right. I could use better sound. So I listened to my critic, and thank God I looked around for a microphone, and you know, was looking at different things, different ways I could make the program better. And so I took it to heart. I thank God for my critic, because when I go back now and I listen, the sound wasn't that bad before, but it's nothing like it is now. You know, the sound is improved 100%. So you have to listen to your critics too. You shouldn't be these, but people, some of these false teachers, they can't listen. They can't listen to their so-called critics. Well, maybe somebody could help you if you listen. Yeah. That's what friends are for, right? That's what friends are for. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah. So anyway, the most important thing today, remember, is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins today. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ask Jesus to forgive you. He will forgive you no matter what you've done. He will forgive you, and he will give you a brand new life, a life of peace and joy, and a life of the promise of everlasting life, a home in heaven where you can be with him forever. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess your sins and believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on a cross for sins. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. Remember, in a body, he's a real person. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he promised he's coming again. He's coming again, the King of the universe, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God bless you today. See you next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.